This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Local labor expert Art Wheaton from Cornell is with us on the WBEN Trocare College Live Line this morning. Art, I know this came in late last night, this deal, but how are you looking at it this morning?
The process works. I think if you have the union and management talking at the table at the same time, you can come up with some solutions. It's unfortunate it took a wildcat strike to get this resolved, but mediation can be helpful.
Art, who would you say has the leverage at this point in these negotiations if the membership doesn't agree to go back?
The leverage goes back to the state in some ways because they gave them an opportunity to come back to work. The union agreed with many of the changes, and then they were given an ultimatum to try to sign, come back by this time or you can get terminated. So I think there's a little bit more to the state because the state can say, we gave you what you wanted. The mediator said that's what you wanted. And many people agreed at the table. But the people at the table are not the ones that are on strike.
This is not a traditional union strike, right? I mean, this, as you mentioned, was a wildcat strike, and it will not be voted on like we traditionally see. This is just up to each individual, right?
Correct, because a wildcat strike means they don't have the union's permission. The union didn't take a strike vote, and they didn't say, we're in collective bargaining, we're negotiating, we don't like the contract, and they go out on strike as a union. This one was individuals saying, we don't feel safe, we're going to go out on strike on our own against the wishes of the union.
Have you ever seen in past strikes where maybe the union membership sort of rebels, for lack of a better term, against the union leadership?
It happens. The problem is with the Taylor Law, public sector workers are not allowed to go out on strike. So it's illegal for the union to call the strike anyway. And if the union does go out on strike, then there are economic sanctions that the state could throw at the unions and put the union leadership in jail. This one is individuals where the recourse isn't suing the union. The recourse is on the individuals that could get fired. But it doesn't happen very often. Usually these happen during bargaining, but this wasn't during bargaining. This was after several incidents in some of the corrections facilities.
In the release from Governor Hochul late last night, she said the workers must return to work by Saturday to avoid being disciplined for striking. What happens if they don't go back?
Then individuals could be fired or terminated for not coming to work.
Do you think the pressure then is on these workers to leave the strike line and go back?
I think the pressure is on the workers, but I think they got most of what they wanted. So the biggest one was putting an end or at least slowing down the HALT Act and to have a better work-life balance and make some changes to their working conditions. Being forced to work mandatory 24 hours straight is not something I would be interested in doing. It is not healthy. It is not safe. And I think some of those changes were to be implemented by the mediator if the workers come back to work.
You said the end of the HALT Act, but it really isn't the end of the HALT Act. It's suspended for 90 days, and at each facility, it'll be reassessed after 30.
Correct, but it at least will let some of the National Guard go home. You can have professionals in there working on it. You can make some adjustments. I don't have the answer for how to do criminal justice reform and how to do corrections reform. And they do need some time to look at it. Whether it's a permanent fix, I think, has to be done at the state level. I think they actually have to vote on it through the legislature to vote to repeal an act. So they can put a pause. The governor has limited power to throw out law that was passed by both branches of the New York state government. So I don't know if they had the power at the mediator level or the governor level to throw out a law that's been voted on and ratified.
Art, how difficult could it be, though, to fire guards? Because this is a unique job. You need a unique skill set. It's not like something else where you could just kick everyone, factory workers, to the curb and hire Joe Schmo off the street. You need to know how to do this job. Are corrections officers aware of that? Does that play into their hand at all?
Absolutely. That one of the reasons they're out there is they don't have enough of them. They feel that they're very much understaffed. And initially they had a letter or some sort of memo sent that 70% is the new 100%, meaning that they were looking at reducing 30% of the positions. And most of the corrections officers felt they didn't have enough to begin with. So that's a problem. I don't know if they'll immediately go to termination. I think they said they could be terminated. That doesn't mean they will be terminated. They could also just put fines or penalties. So under the Taylor law, usually there's a fine of, they can go up to 2-1. So if you miss one day, we'll penalize you 2 days of work. So there could be other discipline or other penalties applied before termination, because it is hard to get people to get better qualified to do the work.
Yeah,
thank you.
We appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for your help and your insight.
Thank you.
Art Wheaton from Cornell, area local labor expert here on WBEN, continuing to follow this development throughout the day, this deal that has been reached to end the corrections officers' strike. And we're asking at WBEN.com if you think this deal will lead to the end of the widespread strike at prisons. Yes or no? Right now, 76%, the biggest block of voters, have checked no. You can find the poll over at WBEN.com.